And welcome to this week's episode of the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast. I am your host, Peter Wheatmartian, and this week I am joined by Colleen and Casey, just like every week. This week we have two special segments for you listeners. First off, we begin with our Biz Buzz segment, as we always do. In this week's Biz Buzz segment, myself, Colleen, and Casey talk a little bit about Audible specifically, with a touch of audiobooks in general, but we really wanted to come at this Biz Buzz segment from the listener's perspective of how you can listen to audiobooks using Audible and what makes Audible a good place for listeners to use for their audiobooks. Then, in our second segment, is KZ's second installment of her Tales and Threads segment. This is a fiction writers segment, specifically for fiction writers. And in this month's segment, KZ is going to talk about the trends in publishing formats specifically geared towards fiction writers. As you might have guessed, ebooks are definitely a big part of this segment. So please be sure to listen to this month's Tales and Threads. We hope that you enjoy this week's episode. And if you do enjoy this week's episode, or if you know a fellow fiction writer, or a writer of any type, please be sure to share this episode with them. A personal share with your friends or your colleagues will really help us grow our listener base. And as always, please be sure to let us know how you enjoyed this week's show. Give us a rating or a review wherever you listen to your podcast. And without further ado, I'm going to send it over to our Biz Buzz segment. And welcome to this week's Biz Buzz segment on the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast. As always, I am joined by Colleen and KZ, and this week we have a very unique topic, I think, because we're talking about Audible in specific, but we're going to talk a little bit about audiobooks in general. I know we have talked a little bit about Audible and audiobooks in previous episodes. We had the episode where we talked about Brandon Sanderson's use of Audible, and we've talked a little bit about some digital trends coming up in 2024, which include audiobooks. So I will have links to those in the show notes, but if you haven't, go back and listen to those as well when you're done with this episode. But this episode, like I said, we are going to talk more specifically about Audible. And before we dig really deep into that, I do want to turn it over to Colleen first to talk about what audiobooks are in general, because according to this is Publishers Weekly in 2022, over 50% of the U.S. adult population has said they've listened to audiobooks. So I think audiobooks are definitely a big trend. And I'm going to let Colleen talk a little bit about what audiobooks actually are and how listeners can kind of use audiobooks.
Well, thanks, Peter. And this is an interesting conversation because I think some people are the Audible people. They can hear and listen and find out what a book, you know, stay tuned into the book, if you will, and other people might not be able to do that. So it's really interesting. But audiobooks simply are audio files and they're voice recordings of a book and a textbook, nonfiction, fiction that you'd like to read. And you want to listen to it instead of reading it, because sometimes people don't, they're on a computer all day. They don't want to listen to it, or they don't want to read it. Sorry. But audiobooks are, they can either be word for word versions of a book, or they can be abridged versions where they're shortened. So that's interesting too. And really, you can listen to your audiobooks on any smartphone, tablet, computer, anything, your car. So that's nice about the Audible. You can listen to it anywhere that you are comfortable doing it. You can purchase it, download it the same way that you used to probably or do download your videos or music and listen to it wherever you want, like I said. You can buy them online or also the library. If you have a library card where you live, you can download them from your library system. You just need the library card. And then you can listen to them really on anything. Like I said, your tablet, your phones, whatever's convenient for you. But that's what an audiobook is, simply. And they're either an MP3 file, a WMA, which is a Windows Media Audio file, or something called AAC, which is Advanced Audio Coding. So you can listen to those in any form, in any of those three formats, whatever you have. Mm-hmm. And there's several websites that you can go to get your audiobook. A couple are Spotify, Apple Books, again, Audible, which you guys are going to talk about today, and several different places where you can download your audiobooks. And also just, that's the simple overview of what an audiobook is.
Yeah, that's some really great information about what audiobooks are. One thing that I think is really interesting about audiobooks in general is the use of like voice actors or people who are very good at audiobooks. You can really tell. I know, I think it's the book World War Z, kind of a zombie fiction novel that came out a few years ago, it's a stunningly wonderful acting job. You know, each reader, there's different readers for different characters and different styles. So, you know, that's another way that people might be interested in audiobooks, because it's not just necessarily a strict reading, but it's very it's almost like a performative reading of the book, which kind of helps you listen to characters, differentiate characters and things like that. Let me turn it over here, or let me ask KZ real quick. So Colleen said that, you know, there's a lot of different places to listen to audiobooks, and we're going to dig into the specific Audible platform right now. So KZ, do you use Audible?
Yes, I do use Audible. I'm a longtime audiobook listener. Back before it was called audiobooks, when it was just books on tape. So I'm dating myself there, but it's real. So yes, I am a subscriber, and I do listen to books that are published, and I also listen to my unpublished work digitally.
That's really great. I love how you mentioned you are a subscriber to Audible, because that's kind of what I think separates Audible from some other places. So real kind of broad level, you know, you can purchase an audiobook straight from Amazon and listen to it on Audible. However, Audible also has a subscription model that you can, depending on what level it is, you basically end up with one Audible credit per month, which you can use to download an audiobook and listen to it that way. So, KZ, do you use the subscription, the credit system, or are you more of a purchaser?
I do both, Peter. If I'm looking at something and I have my credit available, I'll probably use the credit. But mostly, not always, but most of the time when I'm buying something, when I'm looking at an audiobook, that one book will use up my credit for the month. Mm-hmm. There are ways to boost that. When you buy paperbacks and ebooks through your Amazon account, a lot of times you get a credit back. Mm. Get so many points towards building your Audible credits. So, and that's something that I use a lot, because I tend to buy a lot of digital books through my Kindle Unlimited account. Mm. And then I still buy paperbacks. And so when I'm actually purchasing, I'm getting that benefit. So long answer to say, yes, I use the Audible credit system, but I also purchase outright.
Yeah, that's really neat. You know, one thing I'll kind of piggyback off of that too, is I'm a pretty big ebook reader myself. And one thing that I always see is when I'm purchasing whatever book I'm reading, there's almost always an option to add an Audible narration or add an audio, the Audible audiobook for, it's usually not full price when you're buying them together. You usually get a little bit of a discount, but I've seen that as well. So that's that kind of makes it nice and easy. Yeah, Colleen?
I just say, this is funny. I've purchased a lot of eBooks over the time, and I used to get these Audible credits that I never used. How silly is that? Because I'm not really an Audible person, that, you know, I'm more of a visual learner. So maybe I should try that when I'm doing my 4-mile walk one day, you know, sit and listen to an Audible file. But I didn't use those credits. How crazy is that?
Good idea. Well,
that's funny. I know a lot of people, a lot of readers kind of stock up on their credits, and, you know, they'll go on a an Audible credit spree, if you will, and get a bunch of books at the end of the year before their credits are about to expire. So yeah, it's you're not alone in that aspect, I guess. let me kind of transition just a little bit into the actual Audible platform itself. I'm not a big audiobook person myself, kind of like Colleen mentioned, but I know KZ, you are. How does it feel as a reader to use Audible? Is it pretty simple to use? Is it kind of like listening to any old music file or a podcast or something like that?
Once it's in your account, if you're actually getting it from Audible, it is seamless. You simply open up your Audible account and play it on whatever device you have it on. It gets a little bit confusing if you're downloading it. You have to actually, if you have it on one device and then you want to put it on another, it can get a little bit confusing, but it's pretty straightforward. And most people who are challenged by technology will have one way of doing it, and that's the only way they do it. So, for instance, they might be listening to their audiobooks on their phone. Mm-hmm. So it comes directly into their, that's where their book downloads. And all they have to do is open that app on their phone. They know how to do that. They scroll through their library and they listen. It's that simple. If you choose to go to other platforms, not hard, just as a layer of technology need.
That's one nice thing about Amazon, I think, is, you know, usually if you're working within the Amazon ecosystem, if you will, it is pretty seamless to transition between different platforms and different apps and things like that. So that's really good. The ease of use is nice to hear. Now, one thing that I think is pretty interesting about audiobooks is we're talking a lot about the user experience in this, but one thing I do want to point out is for all of our writers and our authors that are listening, which I'm sure there's quite a few of you out there, you are able to create audiobooks yourself as well and put them on the Audible platform. And I just want to point it out, we're going to probably take a more in-depth look at it in another podcast, another Biz Buzz, but it's the ACX platform, which is the Amazon Creator Exchange, which helps you create audiobooks. KZ or Colleen, have either of you done anything with that platform?
I have, yes, Peter. And I'll add a little bit more on here as well as we're talking about it. ACX is not difficult to use. It's actually it's laid out much like if you're uploading a book, you're uploading an audio file. It's mm-hmm. It tells you exactly what it has to have. It goes through the approval process. The trick with the ACX platform is that you have to learn outside of the platform how to prepare that audiobook. And that is definitely a topic for another day. So I'm not going to go into that, but just recognize that there is a specific format that has to be followed for audiobooks. And that is a learning curve for authors. But once you get that format down, getting it into the ACX system is very easy and very straightforward. It gets right into your digital platform that you're already using. I will add one more thing, though. And again, this is going to be a topic for another day, I expect, but I'll touch on it because it fits. Authors also now have a beta program. They can apply to be part of a beta program that Amazon has going right now. Actually, it's Kindle that's running it. But if you choose to apply and you're accepted into the program, you can have your audiobook, your book, your currently published book, turned into an audiobook, literally in minutes. Okay, by selecting their digital voice, their artificial intelligence voice. They have about a dozen of them, and it's still a beta program. But it's not that bad if someone wants to get their books out there. I've done it for a couple of mine, and I'm just kind of testing it out to see how it works. So it's the way of the future. I think that is, again, it's a topic that we are definitely going to be covering in the future, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of controversy around what that's going to mean to people whose business is audiobooks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so true. And I definitely think we'll have to throw that into the Biz Buzz rundown for a future episode, because I think that's a very important topic for sure that we should cover. So let me kind of then go back, just kind of touch on one or two other small things throughout the Audible platform itself. One thing that I think is really interesting is there are some Audible exclusive content out there, and there's some original content on Audible. I think that's really neat because Audible creates a specific ecosystem just within Amazon, so you can kind of know and trust that what's coming out through those Amazon exclusives are going to be pretty high quality. Say what you will about whether or not you can actually, you know, about the competition and all of that, you know, obviously the more that you can, more places you can listen on things, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But, you know, I do know that the Amazon and the Audible quality that you're going to get from those exclusives is going to be pretty high quality. And then the other thing that I think is really interesting is, I'm trying to find it right now off the top on my notes, but there are some classic books from some, you know, authors from, you know, the 1900s, 1800s, etc., that have audiobooks out. And what Amazon or what Audible has done, or publishers have done, is use some, you know, famous actors, some famous other famous people to read those books in audiobook format. So I think that's really neat that it's not just now the new books that have audiobooks. You can actually go back, and there are plenty of plenty of versions of older books that would, you know, there's no way that, you know, Shakespeare would be able to have an audiobook because, you know, he lived so long ago. But I think that's pretty neat.
It is. And along that same vein, Peter, Audible also has, it's a limited library, but they have a library of free books that you can listen to. That's part of that, what you just mentioned. They also have a library for children. Mm. And that one is, again, free. And that one is, that one's global. Not everything that Audible has is global. There are limitations in the different countries where we don't have to get into, but many of the countries allow the library, the children's libraries. So I like that feature too.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's really a great tool that you can have, adding to, you know, the children's book to have a narration with it. So that's really neat. Thank you for sharing that, Candy.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So I think we've kind of covered a little bit of all of the high level stuff. You know, we have what Audible is. We have some information about some of the subscriptions and the credits and how you can buy books through Amazon, through the Kindle, through Audible itself. Is there anything that we haven't covered? I think we've covered pretty much everything. Is there anything you want to add, Casey?
But we have covered a lot of it. I just want to say one more thing about the experience from a reader's perspective. I mean, I know we're talking a lot to writers, but writers are readers too. Mm-hmm. And so from a reader's perspective, audiobooks are a way to take your life and fit reading into it. Does that make sense, Peter? You know, yeah. Colleen mentioned something about on her walks with the dog, that she should be listening to a book, and she should. I know she listens to music, but she could be listening to a book and enjoy that. And not everyone is comfortable with that, but if you're comfortable with doing two things at once, okay, then I applaud that. And for me, at the end of the day, I have been in front of a screen 8, 10, 12, sometimes 15 or 16 hours. And I want to be able to close my eyes. Mm-hmm. And for me, sometimes having the audiobook read to me is the only way that I can do it.
Yeah, that is definitely a really great benefit, I think, of audiobooks. And I think that's probably why we see so many people in the recent, you know, 2, 3, 4 years really grasp onto audiobook formats, Audible in particular. Like I said, just a couple of years ago, 50% of the U.S. adult population was listening to audiobooks. So, you know, that's a lot of people out there who are ripe listeners.
And I'd say it's higher than that now, Peter. I mean,
yes.
I don't know anybody who has a smartphone that doesn't have at least one book on that phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. You know, I think that audiobooks are definitely a wave of the future, and I'm definitely sure that we'll all talk about audiobooks, maybe Audible, maybe ACX, maybe a little bit of some other listening platforms in the future. But I do want to thank Colleen and KZ for joining me for this week's Biz Buzz, and we will be back next week with another writer and author specific topic. This episode of the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast is brought to you by us, The Author's Voice. The Author's Voice is the premier online training platform for authors, speakers, and entrepreneurs looking to add a new revenue stream to their business. Whether you're an author looking to publish your book or an administrative assistant looking to expand your business by working with authors and speakers, we have the training programs to help you become a certified publishing professional. You can learn more about The Author's Voice on our website, theauthorsvoice.org, or please follow our social media at Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You can find links to all of those places in the show notes.
Welcome to Tales and Threads, where we talk about fiction with and for fiction writers. In this podcast series, we aim to be your go-to resource for all things fiction writing and publishing. I invite you to join me, KZ, your host, as we dive into the nuts and bolts of creating captivating stories and sharing them with the world. Each episode is planned to inform, entertain, and inspire while covering the essentials of writing fiction and being published. On today's episode, we will discuss the plethora of different formats in which books are published, and in particular, focusing on, of course, fiction. Ebooks, hands down, have revolutionized the publishing industry. Ebook offers writers a cost-effective and an accessible way to reach your readers worldwide. You know, by publishing digitally, you're able to bypass the traditional gatekeepers of the publishing industry and maintain a much broader control over your work. You get to choose where you publish it and when, and that, believe me, that is huge, being able to make those decisions. Ebooks allow for quick distribution. It's simple for the reader to download your file. It makes it easy for you to update. Oops, a couple of big typos. Well, upload a new file. And the potential for a wider audience is very definitely increased. because you are able to have the flexibility of this as your primary format and add in additional formats. However, it's important to recognize that the digital market is really competitive, highly competitive. And if you're only publishing your ebook format, your book in an ebook format, discoverability could be a real challenge for you. Your fans have to find you. And if there are too many people out there publishing exactly what appears to be exactly what you're publishing, it's hard to find you. This is why print books like hardcover, paperback, and mass market books are still the traditional print formats. They are a staple in the publishing industry. Hardcover books are often associated with prestige and collectibilities. They're attractive to established authors or for special editions. I know a lot of times a first-time author or even one who simply has published a special edition of something that they want their family to know will publish a hardcover version just because they want to give it away to people. Okay, so that's not unusual. But it's also really cool to have that hardcover in your catalog. So there's nothing wrong with going ahead and spending a few dollars and getting an extra cover done and checking to make sure that your interior is in good shape. And go ahead and publish the hardcover. Doesn't cost you hardly anything extra and can give you a nice boost in your catalog. Paperbacks are, of course, affordable and portable. Paperbacks cater to the broadest readership. You might think the ebooks have a broader readership. They don't. The ability to order a book and have it in your hands is still highly, highly wanted by your readers. Mass market paper books are a little bit smaller in size, and you're likely to see those in genres like romance, thrillers, science fiction. The print books, regardless of the format you choose if you're choosing a print book, every type of print book is going to offer a tangible reading experience for your readers. And they can be sold in physical bookstores in addition to digital downloads. So having the ability to sell both all three formats, if you will, okay, is invaluable. And it's an important part of your role as a writer who is paying attention to your writing as a business, your book as a business, to look at all the different formats and decide which combination of formats is the most effective for you. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about print-on-demand technology when we're talking about print books. This has been a game changer for indie authors and small presses. With print-on-demand, books are printed only when ordered. Think about this, guys. It used to be, and it wasn't that long ago when this was reality, it used to be that to self-publish a book, you had to order hundreds and hundreds of books, and you had to stockpile them. You had to store them someplace, and you had to ship them out to bookstores or to get them into a market, distribution market like Amazon. And now with print on demand, the technology offers writers the opportunity to get the print versions of their book into the hands of their readers without the financial risks associated with a traditional print run. Print-on-demand platforms like KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing, and Ingram Spark have made it easy for you, writer, a publisher, to create and distribute your print books right alongside your ebooks. Audiobooks are another format that I want to talk about. Now, we've just talked about audiobooks in the BizBuzz segment of this podcast, so I'm not going to go into a great deal of detail, but I think it's important to remember that audiobooks are immensely popular and continuing to grow. Audiobooks are convenient. They are hands down the most convenient way for a reader to consume your book on the go. And there are so many people in today's world who have to fit different things into their lives. And in order to fit writing, sometimes the only way you can do it is to listen to it. So as a writer, having your book available in an audio format can expand your audience to include those who prefer listening to reading. You can narrate the book yourself. You can hire professional voice actors. You can hire someone to help you with the formatting, because your audiobook has to be formatted just like any other, and it is very specific with the rules you have to follow. Or you can hire someone to do it for you. But the reason that audiobooks are not done universally by every author right now is because it does cost extra money to do an audiobook, and it can be exceptionally expensive. So you have to really feel like you're going to get your money's worth in order to do that. It's easy once you get the audiobook created to get it out there. If Audible is owned by Amazon, so if you have an Amazon, a KDP account for publishing, the Audible account comes right along with it if you've gotten a book that you want to upload. So it follows the same technology path, let's put it that way. iTunes is another platform that you can use for distributing and selling audiobooks. It's a really great market to tap into, but you do want to make sure that you are paying attention to what it's going to cost you to do it. There is a new option coming up, and that is, of course, using a digital voice generated by an artificial intelligence, by AI. That is still in the infancy. I think you'll see it growing. I think it's going to make it possible for writers to cost effectively put their audiobooks out. They may not, however, want to, for a couple of reasons. And that's a totally different discussion we'll have another day. But I want you to think about that it is something that is worth looking into as we go on as writers. These four formats, ebooks, print, print on demand, and audiobooks, are the core formats that the publishing world uses. There are others that trend in and out of popularity. Two in particular have a base of readers who continually want more: interactive books and serialized fiction platforms. With interactive books, enhanced digital content allows you to take the reading experience to the next level for your reader by incorporating videos and animations and different interactive features. Typically, this is done in an ebook, although it can also cross over into a print book. This format is especially suited for genres like children's books, where you have educational content being delivered, and it's often used in certain nonfiction categories, not a lot, but some. Multimedia storytelling and graphic novels or illustrated novels allow you to combine text with visual elements and create a rich and immersive reading experience all the way around for your reader. As a writer, creating interactive books allows you a higher level of reader engagement in an innovative way. To be truthful, if you've written a really good book, you're going to engage the writer by your story. But there are readers who are more likely to engage in a multimedia experience rather than a written experience. So the innovative nature and offers a unique and immersive experience for those readers who prefer to have that. It's a small market, but it's there. And it seems to stay steady. It doesn't pop off ever and go high and then low. It seems to be a pretty steady market. The last one I'll mention is serialized fiction platforms. Wattpad and Kindle's Vella are the two primary platforms that would use this. They've gained a lot of traction, especially among younger readers. These younger generations want fast. They want a story that they can sit down and listen to in 10, or read, rather read in 10, 15, 20 minutes. And they don't care that they have to wait for another day to get the next one, or another week to get the next part of it. They like the fact that these are serialized. They are published in episodic formats. The Kindle or Wattpad, sorry, the Vella or Wattpad release is going to be a chapter or a section on a regular published and established schedule. It's amazing what the level of anticipation and engagement is for readers who love this particular format. If you write for a young market, serialized fiction can really help you build a dedicated fan base. They'll give you real-time feedback. Believe me, they'll tell you whether they like it or whether they don't. They will tell you. And here's an oddity. The publishers, traditional and non-traditional, are watching, looking at Vella and Wattpad authors to see who's putting out really good quality fiction, and with an eye towards offering future book deals. So if you want to be discovered by a traditional publisher, you might want to consider it. Although I actually don't recommend that you go into serialized fiction just for that reason. I recommend that if you're interested in this, experience it as a reader first. Make sure you understand what drives the person who reads serialized fiction and why they're so completely dedicated to it. And then decide if it fits how you want to write and what you want to publish. There are many other publishing formats that are on the fringes and pop up from now every now and then, but these six cover the vast majority of readers and provide a wide variety of delivery to fit readers' preferences. Bottom line, when you're choosing a format for your book, consider your reader. Start with an ebook, maybe, add in a print, add in an audiobook. That is typically the order it happens, but not always. You can mix and match those. You can start with an audiobook if that's what you wanted to do. Consider who your target audience is. That's what should help you to decide what you're going to do. Consider your genre and look at the unique strengths and limitations of each publishing format when you are considering your audience and your genre. Ultimately, I'll tell you, there's only one answer. The best format is the one that aligns with your creative vision and also effectively connects with your intended audience. Thank you for joining me today. As always, add to the comments if you'd like to talk.
Podcast is a production of The Author's Voice. I have been your host, Peter Wheatmartian, and I want to thank KZ and Colleen for joining me on this episode to discuss all things writing, publishing, and speaking. Do you have questions about today's topic or would like to be a guest on a future episode? You can learn more about The Author's Voice on our website, theauthorsvoice.org, or send our team an email at info@theauthorsvoice.org. You can stay in touch with Candy, Colleen, and Peter through The Author's Voice on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Links to all of those can be found in the show notes. If you have enjoyed the episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave a review on the podcast app of your choice. Also, please help us spread the word about the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast by sharing the episode on your social media or by introducing a friend, a colleague, an author, or anyone who would enjoy the discussion to the show.